being of land, but they heard of a man who did. Only they weren't sure where he lived. So she asked about him in every country on earth. It's a vital, deep in the Himalayas. Someone told her how to reach his house. A tiny little hut perched on the side of a mountain just below the tree line. So she climbed and climbed to reach his front door, and when she finally got there, with knuckles so cold they hardly worked, she knocked. Yes, the kind-looking old man who opened it said. She thought she would die of happiness. I have come halfway around the world to ask you one question. Gasping for breath, she asked, what is the meaning of life? Please, come in. Have some tea, the old man said. No, she said. I mean, no, thank you. I didn't come all this way for tea. I came for an answer. Won't you please tell me what is the meaning of life? We shall have tea, the old man said. So she gave up and came inside while he was brewing the tea. She caught her breath and began to tell him about all of the books she had read and all of the people she had met and all of the places she had been. And the old man listened, which was just as well, since his visitor left him no room for a reply. And as she talked, he placed a fragile teacup in her hand. And then he began to pour the tea. She was so busy talking that she did not notice when the teacup was full, so the man kept pouring until the tea ran over the sides of the cup and spilled to the floor in the streaming water. What are you doing? She yelled. When the tea burns, her hand is full. Can't you see that? Stop! There's no more room. Just so, the old man said to her, you come here wanting something from me. Well, what am I to do? There is no more room in your cup. Come back when it is empty, and we will talk. So this morning, we're going to continue our message series based on the book, The Heart of Christianity, by Marcus Ford. And this morning, we're going to talk about the core value of growth. So through this series, we're connecting the core beliefs of Christianity with the Barnes core values to explore and kind of journey through our credo, love wins. And our core values spell out that credo, love wins. So let's read our core values together. Balance, hope, creativity, estate, community, growth, gratitude, honesty, all wins. So this morning we're going to look at the spiritual practice of growth, the wisdom and practice of opening ourselves to growth, and how Jesus encourages this spiritual practice in his teaching. So after listening to this wisdom story that was written by Barbara Brown Taylor, how would you define or understand growth? What does growth mean to you? Brian?
Being open-minded.
Being open-minded.
Always asking questions.
Always asking questions.
Willingness to have your perception changed.
Willingness to have your perception changed.
Room for improvement. Learning from your mistakes.
Yeah.
Time.
Mm-hmm.
Opening yourself to new experiences.
Mm-hmm. Opening to new experiences.
The courage to do something different.
The courage to do something different. Yeah. Others, I thought I saw another hand over here. Betsy? Stepping outside your boundaries with discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, growth has been about facing my fears and that willingness to face what I am most afraid of, and I think that kind of connects with that too. So I'm going to start this morning, now that we've defined growth, and I think growth is all of those things, and it's hard to kind of capture in just one definition, but I want to turn to something more practical and grounded. It's a video, and before I show this video, I'm going to frame it, because there is some packed language in this video, but I think the video highlights a lot of what people are experiencing in our broader culture today. So some of the language is charged. I just want to point that out. But I do want you to pay attention and look for and uncover where you might recognize some practices that open the people in the video toward growth. So let's watch this together.
This is the story of Justine and Trina, two Bay Area friends who, like many Americans, were pretty shocked after President Trump's victory. And they have a theory.
It's so easy in today's society to lash out online, but when you're looking at someone face to face, you can't help but see their humanity. You can't help but connect with them.
Trina, I really love the idea of bringing people together to be present with one another.
So after the election, they started working on the same video. They wanted to find eight people with very different perspectives, have them sit down, eat dinner, and wrestle with some of the most contentious issues facing our country.
The point is not even to like the other person. The point is to expose ourselves to things that we may not be comfortable with.
So when this first started, they were excited, but they didn't know any Trump voters.
Of course, I want to talk to them, but I don't know how to find them.
So they reached out to some Republican groups, they posted on Facebook, and after a while, they found someone. At their very first dinner, they made an unexpected friend.
One particular guest stood out to us. He offered to host our next dinner.
I'm Walt Chateau. I'm a lawyer from San Mateo, and I work for Donald Trump.
I have to admit, I didn't have very warm feelings when I thought about Trump voters, but from the very first emails with Walt and just kind of hearing his reaction to the dinner, I was kind of flooded with this warmth for him. We felt like a little bit of a kinship with him because we really felt like he was like on board.
Well, I want to hear what motivates other people and see what I can learn from it, and maybe I'll have something that somebody else wants to hear.
So Walt is a return guest from our first dinner and tonight's host, so thank you, Walt, for...
After a quick icebreaker, the discussion gets going.
As a transgender queer and adopted man, humanoids, I think, should be taught what we're talking about.
I think we all agree just the partisanship right now. Nobody likes that, because everyone's just choosing their tribal side.
Seeing 2008 bills passed that nobody has read, that shouldn't be happening.
There is a desire for hearing people dialogue and talk and not just yell at each other.
I think it's a really good point. One of the most vocal participants was Walt.
So do you think that things have gotten better for transgender people in the last 20 years? So is freedom the most important thing we have in America or not? There's a lot of the things that you said were true. I don't think they're true at all. You read the article by Heather McDonald. Do you know who that is?
No.
If you have, you really haven't studied this issue at all.
Walt definitely pushed some buttons, and not just with the other guests.
Hearing Walt's perspective, I mean, it was very hard for me not to physically react. I had to stop myself from being personally offended from some of the things that he said.
So in some ways, Walt seemed to fulfill the stereotypes Justine and Tria had in their minds about Trump voters. But now something was different. They actually knew him.
There are many of his opinions that I don't agree with, but I like him as a person, and for me, that's been a really healing and freeing feeling.
Tria and Justine weren't the only ones affected by these conversations. When Walt was asked, he said that the transgender participant, Min, had really changed his perspective.
Min is the one that changed mine. Hearing some of his ideas about how you approach the idea of feeling excluded, included, was different than anybody had heard before. He had a lot of interesting ideas of the way you look at it.
I think growth by definition is moving upwards. It's okay to make yourself uncomfortable. A big part of this for me has been personal growth, and that's what I hope for everyone who comes to the dinner as well. I'm not going to heal the nation in one night. It's a dinner of 8 people. It's tiny, but it creates so many conversations that wouldn't be had otherwise.
I feel like Make America Dinner Again has offered a place for people to practice listening and understanding.
So what are some of the practices that you saw in this video that enabled for growth to happen and help lean them toward growth? Dan?
Something you talked about last week, which is deep listening. Like deep listening to other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just non-judgment, seeking, truly seeking to understand.
Right. They were really trying to break down. And it was interesting because they could see, even in their language, that they were being judgmental, and they were trying to kind of break that open. Cindy? A willingness to be uncomfortable.
Yes.
Others? To see beyond that stereotype. Yeah.
It was they built up trust, and I loved the reactions to the one thing because they were authentic. I mean, they were really uncomfortable, and their mind, their faces, their body just really let everybody know that what you said was just really jangling it. And being able to be that authentic in a group and not just kind of hide all that stuff and bury it was really great to see.
They could be open, right? And they had a trust, right? And that was built in that relationship that they had, right, with each other and that willingness to come together. So I think growth happens when we are able to be in relationship with people who are very different from us. So I'm going to turn to scripture, to a story in the Gospel of John, two people who were very different, who were in a relationship with one another, and they're grounded in their relationship with God, and they come together. Well, let's read the story again. There was a man of the Pharisee sect, Nicodemus, a prominent leader among the Jews. Late one night, he visited Jesus and said, "Rabbi, we all know you are a teacher straight from God. No one can do all the God appointing God really asked you to do if God were in on it." And Jesus said, "You're absolutely right. Take it from me. Unless a person is born from above, it's not possible to see what I'm pointing to God's kingdom." So here in this message translation, I want to start with you. We hear Jesus speaking of being born from above. This phrase in Greek is often translated born again or born anew. But when we use this language of being born again, I don't know about you, but I've had that language used against me in a negative way. So when you hear that phrase, born again, what does it mean to you? It means Baptist.
Death. It means say these words and you're in, and if you don't say them, you're out.
If you say these words, you're in, and if you don't say these words, you're out. That's
it. It means to me to be transformed by God. You need to be transformed. That what you are means
right. It's like your transformation is so full and complete. And this is, I think, the challenge of this language is it means both of these things. So I know I have had that phrase.
phrase used as a litmus test to me while I was on a retreat one time, and someone told me that I didn't believe well enough that I wasn't saved because I wasn't born again. And yet, I also embrace this language because I think it means something so incredibly deep about transformation and growth. Mary?
Yeah, when I was a kid, when we moved downtown, I switched from Girl Scouts to Girl Guards, which was the Salvation Army. And when I went to the summer camp, there was a service and people went up and were accepting Jesus Christ as their Savior. They were kneeling down and accepting Jesus into their heart. And I thought, oh boy, I was in fifth grade. I'm like, I better do this. And when I came home and told my dad, the Episcopal priest, I'm born again. I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And so that's, I heard it just
yeah.
then. It just that's the
I think sometimes on the one context, it can have like it's a black or white, either or you are or you're not. And for me, that as I said, the transformation is, a transformation occurs, but I'm not that all the time. Like I still slip back. Like just because I've been transformed in some way doesn't mean I don't go back to my old ways of doing things not as well and not in the way I should be walking in.
Right. There's this tension between this idea that this is a once and done thing and a lifelong process of transformation and growth. And those two different perspectives can live in tension in sometimes. So I want to talk about that and unpack that language in the story before we kind of unpack it even further. Because I think when you start to look more deeply into this story, I think it kind of highlights these tensions and I think it can lead to new insights. So Nicodemus is really an interesting and intriguing character because first of all, he almost seems like he's leading two lives. Because on the one hand, he's a Pharisee and leader of the Jewish community. So he's a Pharisee, and some of the Pharisees are very cautious toward Jesus. Others are publicly opposing him, and from this perspective, Nicodemus would have been cautious of Jesus because he is a Pharisee. So on the other hand, Nicodemus is very privately curious about who Jesus is. Who is this rabbi? Because he's recognizing that Jesus is doing all of these miracles and these God-revealing acts, and his teachings and works stem from God. So as a Pharisee, his life would have been grounded and centered in teaching his community about God and being in relationship with God. So he is curious, who is this teacher? And I would imagine that he would want to have that kind of depth and connection, as well as being able to share that with his community. So Nicodemus is kind of torn between seeing Jesus in these two totally very different ways. And so being divided, Nicodemus ventures out under the cover of night. And this metaphor is really important in this story. So he's out of sight of any public audience. He sneaks out in the middle of the night to try to understand who Jesus, who this rabbi is, so that maybe his way of seeing Jesus could become more clear and he would feel so divided. And there is another level of relationship that is much deeper and it relies on the trust and experience between two people. So I will never forget my first time where I really faced trust in a very unique way. I went to the Sky Challenge High Ropes course over at Dutch Springs, which is 4 stories tall. And see that tiny little person all the way up there? That's not even the top. Like, I remember standing in front of my instructor that very first time, and he's putting me in a bullet, which is the only thing that's standing between me and life and death. So, and I'm not a person who's afraid of heights. I was afraid of heights that day. But I had to have trust in this person who is strapping me in to know that if I slip and fall, I will not go to my impending doom, but the belay will catch me while I'm on this course. I set myself in a relationship with this person, and I was trusting him with my life. So Nicodemus is halfway to this level of trust. He knew Jesus is good, but he doesn't completely trust and he wants more information. He wants to know, he really wants to know what is the meaning of life. And he wanted the teacher to say something that would take away his doubts and make it easy for him to say yes. So just like that woman who visited the wise sage, Nicodemus couldn't comprehend what Jesus is teaching. So let's keep reading the story. "How can I know," said Nicodemus, "the be born who's already been born and grown up. You can't re-enter your mother's womb and be born again. What are you saying with this born from above talk? Jesus said, "You're not listening. Let me say it again. Unless a person submits to this original creation, the wind hovering over the water of creation, the invisible moving the visible, a baptism into a new life, it's not possible to enter God's kingdom. When you look at a baby, it's just that. A body you can look at and touch. But the person who takes shape within is formed by something you can't see and touch. The spirit, and becomes a living spirit. So don't be so surprised when I tell you that you have to be born from above, out of this world, so to speak. You know how the wind blows this way and that. You hear it rustling through the trees, but you have no idea where it comes from or where it's headed next. That's the way it is with everyone born from above, by wind of God, the Spirit of God. Jesus is speaking metaphorically to try to capture the amazing mystery of God. It is transformation, an invisible rebirth from God that creates a visibly changed life. Nicodemus had no idea what Jesus was talking about, but be honest, how many of us still scratch our heads a bit while reading this cryptic interpretation? Can you imagine Jesus talking to you in this way? And would you be wondering what in the world he was talking about? I still wonder. I've been studying and reading this passage for years, and I still wonder what is he talking about in this sense. But Jesus is telling Nicodemus that he needs a new life in the Spirit. This is how I understand this. So the central message of Jesus that is woven throughout the Gospels, what we read over and over and over again in Paul's letters, this idea of being born anew, being born in the Spirit. It is about dying to an old way of life. Dying to old habits and ideas, old ways of behaving, old addictions, old patterns, which need to die, which keep us trapped in leading a spiritually dead life. And Jesus is inviting us to be born anew in the Spirit, to take on a new identity as a child of God, to be born in a spiritual connection, a spiritual way of being, that can see ourselves deeply in relationship with God and with one another. And this includes a way of life that includes smallness every day, of transformation, of dying and rising, dying to those old habits and rising in a new way of love. Frederick Buechner puts it this way: we live our lives from the outside in rather than the inside. It's about setting ourselves aligned with love, with the Spirit, with this new way of being, and with the consciousness of dying that allows us to let go of those old patterns to open us up to spiritual practices of rising in the Spirit. So let's watch together this very short clip of Jean Monnier as he talks about spiritual growth.
So it's about we are not defined, but we are defined by growth relationship, which is another thing. It's because people have difficulty relating. It's okay, you're at this stage, that's a question of growth, that we are called to love people better and more and to love our enemies. And to love our enemies, it's crazy. Who really need a secular or go through a secular change of heart of stone into a heart of flesh? That sounds beautiful. But if instead of saying a heart of flesh, you say a fungal heart, it sounds less exciting. And if you want to define vulnerability as capacity of being hurt, so change your heart of stone, which is protective, to people hurt when we make people be hurt. That's not what I'm saying. But that's the reality. Is that if really we start being concerned about people and loving people, that's what we will be like. So growth then means about how to grow through being hurt, which is about how to grow through a consciousness of depth.
This is really a deep idea. This really is. It's this idea that we can die to these pieces of ourself that keep us trapped or imprisoned in old ways of thinking that hold us back from love and connection. When we can die to those pieces within ourselves, which is really hard to do, it opens us to growth and love. And this is our call. It is to be open to transformation, to be freeing ourselves, to allowing the Spirit to work within us, and then to be visible witnesses to this kind of power, the transformative power of love. A life born from above is a changed life, and it is as obvious, it's as invisible as the wind, and as obvious in its impact. It is a life lived with love at the center, love of God and love of neighbors. And it is serving and caring for God's people, caring for God's creation. And this is simple and yet hard. It is about visiting those who are in prison. It is about caring for the poor. It is feeding the hungry. It is visiting the sick. It is praying for one another. It is simple and it is hard. It is the pathway of love. It is a pathway of willingness to being vulnerable to hurt, to being able to move through that hurt to growth. And it is about just sitting down and having a cup of tea and discovering a new world through connection and through relationship.